When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We need a camera on Evan. He's about to do the dance.
Oh, I didn't, and then they didn't see me? They didn't get my gritty?
Go ahead, do it again.
Oh, I gotta do it again? This is the third time. I'm getting tired from this.
Please don't. Please don't.
It is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. ESPNU and the ESPN app.
Let him help you.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. You want to do it?
No.
All right. Everybody's comparing Smalls to Jenny from the block today. I like it.
It's the hair and the hoops.
Looks good. I don't know. I'm just saying. Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Game of the year last night going in between Philadelphia and Kansas City, 21-17. Philadelphia wins, and KC was up 7-0 early on. They were up 17-7. Comeback, of course, for Philadelphia early on. The Kansas City defense and all throughout the game looking good. Chris Jones with 2 sacks on 1 drive, which was excellent. But late in the game, we had drops all over the place. We had drops, 3 of them, on that final drive, including Marquez Valdes-Scantling on a potential touchdown to win the game. We had on a 4th down, Justin Watson for the Chiefs had a drop. And then early in that drive, we also had Travis Kelce with a drop. Also had 2 turnovers in the red zone for Kansas City, 1 interception by Mahomes, and another fumble by Travis Kelce, and very much out of character for both of those guys. Smalls, what did you learn last night from watching the Eagles' victory?
I think I learned that these are the 2 best teams in the NFL, and that it still feels like we're trending towards a Super Bowl rematch. However, I've been saying it all season that this Chiefs offense just doesn't feel the same to me. This is not just me playing the reaction last night to the drops and to them not scoring a point in the second half, which they haven't done in 3 straight games. It just doesn't feel like the same version of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I say that, but this is still an excellent team with an all-time great quarterback and head coach and Travis Kelce and a lot of weapons that I certainly wouldn't want to bet against, and a defense that's playing outstanding. Shout out to Steve Spagnuolo, who never gets as much credit as he deserves what he's been able to do with this Chiefs defense.
But
now that we're there, he's done it in so many different places, and I lived through it. I know that his tenure as the head coach of the St. Louis Rams wasn't great. It was actually all-time bad. But I wonder why we don't talk about him more as getting another shot as a head coach, because he really is an amazing defensive mind. I wouldn't be surprised if that at some point gets a little bit of rumblings. But to put a bow on it, I think that even though the Chiefs are outstanding and they're right now right there at the top of the AFC, they just don't feel like they're as scary as they were in years past.
Yeah, Smalls, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You're talking about the 2 best teams in all of football. That's what we watched last night. Now, if you're asking me who do I feel has the biggest challenger in their way, in their respective conference, to get to the Super Bowl, it would be the Philadelphia Eagles. But I got to give credit to a team that went on the road in a hostile environment, down double digits in the second half, finding a way to win that football game. And they did that by being able to force takeaways at opportune times. I mean, the forced fumble on Travis Kelce at the beginning of the 4th quarter in the red zone, that was a huge play. Takes away a scoring opportunity for the Kansas City Chiefs. And you saw that earlier in the first half with an interception that they were able to wrangle from Pat Mahomes in the red zone. To me, their ability to be able to step up and make those plays and be able to survive the waves of momentum swings throughout the course of a game, that speaks to the sports character of that team. And I think that's something that serves them well, and that's why we continue to say they haven't played their best game, and yet we sit here and they're 9-1 today. So I think that's a big, big feather in the cap of the Philadelphia Eagles, but they also got to deal with the San Francisco 49ers in their conference. Now, conversely, the Kansas City Chiefs, there are 3 things that concern me. The red zone efficiency. They're 15th in red zone efficiency this year. Last year, they were top five. If you looked at last season, three of the top five teams in red zone efficiency played on conference championship game weekend. That matters. The drops by the receivers, 26 drops through the first 10 games, that leads the NFL this season, and that's also tied for the most through the first 10 games over the last decade. That's a problem. And then, of course, making sure that these young receivers step up. Like, those are in the blow. Again, the second half non-scoring, like not scoring in the second half for three straight games. Like, those are the things that concern me, because now it's starting to be a trend for Kansas City in those three respects. The lack of red zone efficiency, the drop passes, and then not scoring in the second half. We used to say that no lead is safe when Pat Mahomes is under center. Now, for the Kansas City Chiefs, it seems like no lead is safe because they don't score in the second half. So those are the things that I'm most concerned with the Chiefs moving down the stretch. Now, I still think that the Chiefs are going to be in the conference championship game and they're going to host that game in Arrowhead Stadium, but they do have some things that need to get cleaned up before I can feel good about them being the clear favorites to win the Super Bowl this year.
Can drops be contagious, CeCe? Like, can all of a sudden one guy, then the next guy, like, the inordinate amount of drops that I have a really hard time putting that on Patrick Mahomes, obviously, because of the way in which he throws the football has been so successful. Can it be contagious, like, in these guys' heads?
You know what? It is one of those things that can kind of get into guys' heads. I mean, you saw Justin Watson have a couple of drops last night. I think about the one in the second half on a third down. Like, that was a huge drop. You've got to be able to catch that and convert. You got hit anyway. You might as well catch the football. But I'm with you. I think that there could be something to that. I also think we got to attribute some of this to the weather. I mean, it was one of those muggy nights. You got a little bit of rain. That could have been a factor in terms of the ball slipping off of some of those receivers' hands. But this is something that's got to get fixed. It's got to get cleaned up. Those receivers are going to have to be more reliable for Patrick Mahomes in order for this team to realize their ceiling. Their defense will set the floor, and the floor is the conference championship game for the Chiefs. The ceiling is the Super Bowl. The ceiling is the Super Bowl for this team. And so I think the biggest thing is whether or not those receivers round into form is going to determine whether they realize that ceiling.
888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join us on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Of course, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. I know a lot of people want to weigh in on last night's Monday Night Football. Let's talk to you guys. Let's start it off with Phil in Kansas City watching on ESPN2. What's up, Phil?
What's up? Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I think everybody's drinking too much of the Mahomes Kool-Aid. Without Kelce and without Andy Reid, Mahomes would just be a normal quarterback. He'd be average.
God. Oh, God.
I think that Kansas City, you guys got him rated. They're way too high. Baltimore can beat him. If Buffalo gets their stuff together, they could beat him. The Jaguars, Miami.
You do realize nobody has beaten them, right? you do realize that. There have been two quarterbacks that have gone into Arrowhead and won games in the playoffs, that being Tom Brady and Joe Burrow. We ain't going to see neither one of them in the postseason this year. That's it. There's only been two. The Kansas City Chiefs have hosted the conference championship game 5 years running. Since Mahomes been a starter, they've hosted the game. And the two quarterbacks, the two teams that have been there to beat them in the conference championship game are likely not going to be there this year. So, I mean, I don't understand why we're saying Mahomes is overrated and how all of these other teams can be. Yes, all of these other teams could beat him, but, I mean, could and will are two different things. And right now I'm not comfortable saying any of those teams in the AFC field will beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs.
Tal in Raleigh, North Carolina, listening on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. What's up, Tal?
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
One thing I haven't heard you guys talk about is the fact that Eric Bieniemy is not there anymore. The last year, the offense was great. So maybe, Michelle, maybe that's one of the reasons why you feel like it's different.
Yeah.
He's not there anymore, so now the offense is really struggling. I'm done. You guys have a great day.
Smalls?
Yeah, that's a great point. We haven't talked about the difference in the offense without Eric Bieniemy there. I think, you know, coming off last night, we focus on the drops and we if we drill into the fact that they haven't scored in the second half in the past three games, maybe some of that is Eric Bieniemy. Maybe it's because in Washington he's not having overwhelming success, so we forget about the synergy that they had.
But they also had a dominant run game last night. Like, it's not like they weren't good offensively in some areas.
Exactly.
Yeah, good point.
I mean,
good
they
point.
Literally – and by the way, Kadarius Toney, maybe it's just an Eagles thing because he was great in the Super Bowl. Kadarius Toney is a name we haven't even mentioned early on in that game last night, was running all over the place on punt returns as well as actually, you know, on handoffs. And Pacheco, I don't have the number on this exactly, but specifically in the first half, it felt like he was getting 10 yards a pop. Like, every single time he touched the ball, felt like close to a first down. So it's not that the offense was bad. It's that they turned the ball over twice in the red zone. They had tons of drops, more than any other team in the league, and they actually pummeled the Eagles in terms of the run game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you want them to be better in situational football, right? The red zone particularly, that's the area that you want to see improvement. But, I mean, the offense is still top five in third down conversions. The offense is still top 10 in total offense. You just want to see them capitalize once they get the ball in the scoring area. And, yeah, not having Eric Bieniemy there might affect that to some degree. But I would contend that the drop passes is probably more of a reason. You got 26 drop passes through the first 10 games. That's a lot of drop passes. So, I mean, that's the part that they got to get cleaned up in order for them to get to where they want to go. And then when you look at the Bieniemy situation, he's not covering himself in glory when it comes to what he's done with the Washington Commanders. He's got a quarterback that's been sacked 51 times through 11 games. 51 times. They had 6 turnovers on Sunday against the Giants. So, I mean, I get it. Like, Eric Bieniemy is a part of the success over the last 3 or 4 years in Kansas City. We'll give credit where credit is due. But I'm not going to sit here and attribute the struggles of that Chiefs offense to Eric Bieniemy's absence. I'm not going to do that.
All right, coming up, college football playoff rankings will be released tonight. Nobody knows that better than Heather Dinich. She is an ESPN college football reporter. She will join us next to talk about how much Harbaugh's suspension, Jordan Travis's injury at Florida State, impacts the rankings. We will talk to Heather coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. College football playoff rankings released tonight on ESPN. Nobody covers it better than Heather Dinich, ESPN college football reporter, and she joins us now here on Unsportsmanlike. Heather, let's start with this. Obviously, horrific injury, Jordan Travis, Florida State. By all accounts, a great kid, 6-year player, going to play in the NFL at some point here. Awful injury. Unfortunately, there's business then to add on to that. Which takes more of a place tonight in the rankings? Michigan playing without a coach or FSU playing without a quarterback?
Florida State playing without a quarterback, I think. But guys, if Washington moves to that number 4 spot, as I expect they will, I think it will have less to do with the injury to Jordan Travis and more about what Washington has done to this point in the season, because the selection committee does not project ahead. No one is sitting in that room saying, you know, I don't think Florida State's going to beat Louisville in the ACC championship game because they don't have Jordan Travis in the lineup. They look at what Florida State and Washington have done to this point. And credit to Tate Rodemaker, because with him leading the offense against FCS North Alabama, they scored 58 unanswered points in that game. But while they were doing that, you've got a Washington team that played outstanding defense against a ranked, respectable Oregon State team. And so those two complete bodies of work through 12 weeks of the season, how do they stack up? And I think irregardless of the Jordan Travis injury, Washington would have had an outstanding chance to move into that fourth spot tonight.
Heather, as we move into rivalry weekend, I can't help but look at Oregon as the team that has the best chance of all those that have one loss or more to actually make a bid into the college football playoff. Do you see it the same way?
Well, kind of. I think Alabama has the best chance of any one-loss team to impress the selection committee in their conference championship game. You mentioned rivalry week, and that is an important game for Oregon, because if they lose to Oregon State, they have two losses, and I think even with a win against Washington in the Pac-12 championship, it would be incredibly difficult for them to get into the top four as a two-loss Pac-12 champion. But on conference championship day, no one's going to have a better opportunity than Alabama, because they're going to be playing the committee's number one team. The question, guys, as you know what I'm going to say next, is how the committee views that head-to-head loss in week two to Texas.
Mm. Heather, I want to circle back to Michigan for a second and what Evan said, and them winning in spite of everything that's going on off the field and in spite of their head coach not being on the sideline. Is that something that the committee factors in at all? I know it's a situation of their own making with Connor Stallion's behavior, but is it more impressive perhaps to the committee that they're winning without their head coach, or not a factor at all?
It is a factor in their conversations, and it certainly could help them more than hurt them, because they have found a way to win with Sharon Moore leading that team the past two games. But it honestly isn't more of a factor than the Jordan Travis injury. When you look at the selection committee's protocol and the way they compare teams that have similar resumes, one of the four things at the very end of those tiebreakers, in addition to head-to-head competition, strength of schedule, conference championship one, common opponents, the last thing is missing key players or coaches for injuries, suspension, illness, whatever the reason might be. So quite frankly, they look at Michigan the same way they're going to look at Florida State. And if Michigan doesn't beat Ohio State, I think they're in real trouble.
It is Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, along with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you, Heather Dinich joining us, ESPN college football reporter. Heather, Michigan-Ohio State, biggest game, obviously, this weekend. Third game of the Jim Harbaugh suspension. We are assuming it's the last game of the Jim Harbaugh suspension. Are we right to assume that?
Well, you know what they say about assuming things, my friends, right? I have no way of confirming that as we sit here right this second. The only thing that I feel comfortable saying about Michigan's investigation right now is that it's not over. The NCAA investigation is ongoing. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if there was more fallout, whether it's down the road with Harbaugh or it's in the near future with other staff members. I can't say any of that with accuracy right now, other than it's a developing story, but I would be surprised if any of this was over by any stretch of the imagination.
Heather, zooming in on the game on Saturday in the Big House, Michigan has won the last two matchups against Ohio State, and last year's win looks even better, seeing as how C.J. Stroud is making a bid for Rookie of the Year and potential MVP in the NFL. But if we look at the Ryan Day status with the Ohio State program, how much pressure is on him to win in this game, given the circumstances and given what we've seen play out over the last couple of years?
No more pressure than he's putting on himself. I can promise you that. I had a chance to sit down with Ryan Day in his office this spring, and I also sat down with their athletic director, Gene Smith, and he said, he's my CEO. I have all the confidence in the world in him in calling plays. And yes, if they were to lose to Michigan, I think the scrutiny would absolutely intensify. It was at a peak last year when they lost to Michigan, and Ohio State has not lost three straight to Michigan since, I don't know, like 1990, whatever it was, it's been a really long time. So you don't want to have that dubious distinction. But I think what's really bothering Ohio State fans is not just that they've lost to Michigan, it's that Michigan has started to elbow the Buckeyes out in terms of the college football playoff spot. They've earned that national spotlight next door to the Buckeyes as well. So the pressure is tremendous at Ohio State. Ryan Day knows that, but the last time I talked to his boss, he said everything was fine and he had his utmost confidence.
Heather, how do you view the Heisman race right now? And could this showdown between Michigan and Ohio State move the needle in any way?
It could move the needle. J.J. McCarthy should certainly be in the conversation. The way I view the Heisman race is through the lens of a Heisman voter, which I am. And it's so difficult right now because Jaden Daniels is fantastic in putting up video game numbers. But Bo Nix and what he's doing for Oregon, he's at the top of my list right now. But Marvin Harrison Jr. is on my list as well. And then Carson Beck has played his way into the conversation. And last night, as I'm filling out my Heisman watch list for ESPN.com, I'm like, should I put Carson Beck or should I put Brock Bowers? Beck or Bowers? And I wound up going with Beck because of the way he's played lately. And Bowers obviously missed some time with injury. But you can make a case for either one of them on the same team. So it's going to be very difficult, and I think and I hope Heisman voters wait until the last minute when all the data is available before casting their votes.
We're talking with Heather Denich, of course, ESPN college football reporter. The playoff rankings announced tonight on ESPN. We know that Caleb Williams is going to be going to the NFL and leaving USC. Is Lincoln Riley long for USC?
That is a great question. There's always rumblings. They have off this week. And, you know, if I said to my editors on Saturday night, you know, USC, they're off. It's kind of presumptuous because I guess they assumed that they would have this week to prepare for the Pac-12 championship game, which obviously isn't happening. I don't know. I mean, it's been such a short tenure, but with the way things unfolded and the way he left Oklahoma, nothing would surprise me in terms of Lincoln's future. And whether it's the NFL being considered or it's another opportunity, I would be surprised if he left for another college job. I think the NFL would be the only enticing thing to lure somebody away from USC in that particular position. But who knows? I'm not ruling anything out in postseason coaching carousel.
Well, Heather, we appreciate the time. Obviously, tonight's going to be huge because we don't know where the rankings are going to go. I know you've said a million times, we cannot assume that if Washington jumps FSU, it's because of the Jordan Travis injury. But I promise you tomorrow, we will assume it's because of the Jordan Travis injury. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Heather Denich, phenomenal ESPN reporter, college football reporter. And listen, we get it. We all understand it, right? Washington's resume is good enough to be number four, but we're all going to go to that place of that Jordan Travis injury obviously means something when it comes to FSU and the fact that they may not be in the college football playoff. Coming up, the Jets have benched Zach Wilson. Where does Wilson rank amongst the worst picks in NFL history? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Am I starting to feel badly for Zach Wilson after hearing that montage of takes against him? That is warranted. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course all of our great ESPN stations across the country, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. So the announcement was made yesterday on the same day, of course, that we have the Eagles beating the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, the showdown last night. We also have the Jets benching Zach Wilson finally and not going to Trevor Siemian as everybody thought, but instead going to Tim Boyle as their new starting quarterback. Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, met with the media at a press conference yesterday, and I think the full-fledged Spider-Man meme is now in effect of everyone pointing to everyone else about the drafting of Zach Wilson.
Robert, what do you believe you guys could have done differently during the draft process when evaluating the quarterback position?
You know what? I actually, I've got my thoughts. I've shared them with Joe, but I'm not going to get into it here with you guys.
Okay. CeCe, we need the 11-year NFL veteran translator here. When a coach says about a draft pick retroactively, I have my thoughts. I've shared them with Joe, which is Douglas, his boss, the general manager, but I'm not going to share them publicly. What does that actually mean?
Well, he just told us. Like, he hasn't been on board with what Joe Douglas has done in terms of where he wants to take this team. And one good draft does not a GM make, and that's where Joe Douglas is banking his reputation with the Jets, because he drafted Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, two guys that I might mention were top 10 picks. Because you got that, all of a sudden, everybody wants to look at Joe Douglas as this general manager that's above reproach, and I just don't see it that way. I mean, when you look at his draft class this year, it leaves a lot to be desired. When you look at the Zach Wilson draft class, your top four picks are not on the field for whatever reason. I mean, Zach Wilson's awful. Elijah Vera Tucker's hurt. Elijah Moore, you shipped him off, and you just cut Michael Carter. So, I mean, think about it. This is not a team that is flushed with talent. This is a team on the defensive side of the ball that plays really, really good at times, but because their offense has been so anemic, the defense is starting to become disenfranchised, and that you have to pin on organizational failures. They should have done more earlier to fortify the quarterback position when they could have saved their season. The Minnesota Vikings traded a 6th-round pick for Josh Dobbs and a 7th-rounder from Arizona. That's what they gave up. That's what the insurance against Zach Wilson being awful in the second half of the season would have cost you if you're Joe Douglas. You think that's being a good general manager by not making that deal? Give me a break. We have enough evidence to know that Zach Wilson isn't good at football. For his career with the Jets, he's a 56 completion percentage guy. He's got 25 picks to 21 touchdowns. I mean, to think that this guy was going to get any better than what he had already shown in the first half, they were kidding themselves. It wasn't good enough then. It's clear that it's not good enough now. And as far as the Jets should be concerned, Zach Wilson has taken his last snap in their uniform.
Yeah, and Rob Saleh, I think, knows that, obviously. If I could do the decoder on the comments that we just heard, it's, I don't want to say anything negative about this guy publicly, but I've made my thoughts known. I mean, the clip, 2 weeks ago that we played for him, he pled the fifth to the Michael Kay Show rather than give you his honest thoughts about Zach Wilson's performance. So by him saying, Joe Douglas knows my thoughts, he's saying, we've had that conversation and this was out of my control for a long period of time. That's the way I'm viewing it.
Are you guys saying that you don't think he wanted to draft him? Like, are you saying that, okay, if he was in charge of a draft at that time, he would never have considered Zach Wilson number 2 overall? Is that what we're saying here? Because it sounds like that is what Robert Saleh is saying, right? And my years may be messed up, because this is Saleh's, what, 2nd year, 3rd year with the Jets right now? And Wilson's 3rd year overall? I just want to double check on this. They came in the same time, right? So they were three years each. Yeah. So basically what I'm taking, whether it's true or not, what I'm taking from this is that the head coach of the New York Jets is alluding to yesterday that if he were in charge of the draft, he would not have drafted Zach Wilson number 2 overall. That's how I'm hearing that. Now, he may not be telling the full truth. He may want to disassociate himself from this because he may want to look at it and say, I don't want the blood on my hands of this guy. But we know this was never the plan this year, right? And Robert Saleh, head coach of the Jets, was on with the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN New York, yesterday, and explained kind of what happened this year and why they didn't have a more experienced backup quarterback.
That's a fair question. When you look at the overall body of work for Zach on the field, I get it. You know, there's a lot to be desired, and most of it was a confidence issue. It's not an arm talent issue. It's not an athleticism issue. And we felt like if we can get him the redshirt year that we never gave him in year one, he'd have the opportunity to grow and be the quarterback that I think we all believe he's capable of being. I don't think anyone anticipated Aaron going down in 4 plays. I think worst case scenario in anyone's mind would have been that he plays a few games and Zach at least gets to observe and watch Aaron handle the huddle, handle game week, handle preparation, handle practice, handle the communication with his teammates, handle the sideline, and he can absorb and take it all in, how he studies tape, how he rehab and regen and all that good stuff. And he missed it. He never got to see that opportunity. He never got to see that happen. And so, you know, I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but it was a collective decision in that we see the talent, we see the athleticism, we see the work ethic. If we could just get him that the redshirt year, we felt like he could be the quarterback that he could be.
So as we understand it, CC, they wanted Zach retroactively. Zach Wilson should have sat out his first year and or should have sat out his third year.
Well, I think his whole point was we probably gave him the starting job prematurely. Like, we didn't ask him to compete.
Twice.
He was just gifted the opportunity because, remember, they traded Sam Darnold before that draft in order to clear the decks for Zach Wilson to be QB1 with the Jets. But it was premature. And not only are you talking about a guy that had a step up in class and competition because he played his college ball at BYU, but you're also talking about a guy that wasn't a team captain in college that is thrust into a situation that doesn't have a ton of player leadership in a situation where you're also trying to change the culture. So it didn't necessarily lend itself to Zach being the best version of himself in the NFL. I'm not sitting here saying that it's all Zach's fault because the franchise was plenty bad enough to put blame on. I guess my only question is, now that you had the information, you had 2 years of data points, why would you not have a more viable plan for quarterback, after your 39-year-old, soon-to-be 40-year-old quarterback in Aaron Rodgers that you traded for? That made no sense. It didn't make sense in the offseason. It doesn't make sense now. It didn't make sense a few weeks ago when you let the trade deadline pass and didn't make a move. I don't get it. To not take advantage of how good this defense is, to not take advantage of how good Garrett Wilson is while he's on his rookie deal, while how good Breece Hall is on his rookie deal by not having a better option to turn to other than Zach Wilson, that is the definition of franchise malpractice. And I don't think the Rodgers injury should be what saves Rob Saleh or Joe Douglas. I just don't. Now, if we're playing the blame game and we're doing the pie chart on who deserves the lion's share of the blame, to me, that's Joe Douglas over Rob Saleh. At least I can say Rob Saleh's defense, which is his expertise, is playing well. I don't know what the Jets do on offense well. I don't. And that's on the general manager and that's on the offensive coordinator.
I think there's a little bit of blame to go around with everybody in charge because as we're deciphering all this, whatever way they want to slice it, they put all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket. They made a huge gamble on a 39-year-old quarterback, and the bill came due way sooner than they anticipated. Everything he just said about giving Zach a year to redshirt and sit behind somebody like Aaron Rodgers, they never considered life beyond him. They were so sure and so intoxicated by everything that he was bringing to the table, by his past success, the way that things were translating.
I'm sorry to interrupt here, Smalls. I got breaking news. I apologize for interrupting. Interesting, considering what's gone on today on this show and the critique of one player, according to Adam Schefter, the Steelers have fired their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. That the critique has been in there of Kenny Pickett. CC has brought him up. We brought him up yesterday. The idea of comparing him to Zach Wilson, ironically, and to Mac Jones and other quarterbacks that are not doing very well. Obviously, that first round picks. Sorry to interrupt on that, but Steelers fired offensive coordinator Matt Canada per Adam Schefter. This is not your typical Mike Tomlin move. He was supportive of Canada. The Steelers fans despised the play caller that was Matt Canada. I don't mean the person, but the play caller that was Matt Canada. So they fired their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. We'll have more on that coming up in just a little bit here. We do have Smalls making us smile, of course, with positive programming. I'm hopefully going to make all of the American farmers out there smile. Why? Because telling everybody about Farm Fresh Christmas trees. This is so important. This is Christmas season. This is the time you go out there and you have all these memories and all of these wonderful times in your family's life. Well, you need that real Christmas tree. The fake one does not do well for you. It's time for an incredibly important message this holiday season. Let's help the American farmers. People are all over the place in their opinions. This is good. That's good. This is right. That's right. Well, we all can be together on one thing. Let's save jobs, and specifically the American farmer's job. If so, if you're with me on this, then get real and keep it real this holiday season by buying real Christmas trees. Wouldn't you rather spend less for a real Christmas tree and assume a farmer is saving their job as a result? Yeah, you can pay less for the tree, and that actually keeps the farmer's job alive. Because if you spend more for the fake Christmas trees, you can assume by buying a fake Christmas tree that a farmer will lose their job. Buy real Christmas trees at Lowe's or wherever Christmas trees are sold and get more information online. Plus, participate in cool contests at GetRealKeepItReal.com. That's GetRealKeepItReal.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time to smile here on Unsportsmanlike. Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman. Let's do a little positive programming, guys. We're getting closer and closer to Thanksgiving. Huge family day, huge food day, huge football day here in this country. And we have gotten word who the halftime performers are going to be during the halftime shows for this year's Thanksgiving Day games. Are you ready for the lineup?
Which means halftime performers for Thanksgiving Day games.
That's right. It's big day.
Who knows?
We're going to work in some music. All right. Adam Schefter has tweeted this. First game, Packers at Lions. Your halftime performer, Jack Harlow. What do we think about this?
I'm in on that.
Wasn't he at the Monday night game against the Raiders a few weeks ago?
I think he's at every game. Basically.
He's at every game?
He's at a lot of games.
Around the National Football League?
Around sports in general. I mean, he's all over the place sports-wise. Okay. Yeah.
He's kind of Drake adjacent that way.
Yeah.
Maybe he was doing some advanced scouting with Connor Stallions for the halftime show.
Maybe. Love that new song of his, by the way. What's the name of that new song? Loving on Me? Love it. Okay, next game. Commanders at Cowboys. The halftime performer. She is the moment. She has been the moment. She is an icon. It is Dolly Parton.
Oh, that's so good.
And she was with Peyton Manning at the Tennessee game on Saturday. Just the obvious crew.
Dolly Parton, amazing. 49ers that's at great. Seahawks, your halftime performer, Steve Aoki.
Get your cake ready.
Who?
Steve Aoki.
The DJ.
Who?
You don't know Steve Aoki? He's
I have
excellent.
No clue.
Oh, he's great. He throws cakes at the audience. He's great.
Is that right?
I don't think he's going to be able to do that, though, based on where the stage will be on the field.
I don't know. If Drew Locke is in there, you may want to throw a cake at him. I mean, my God.
Yeah, no, I mean, no disrespect to Steve, but I just Dolly Parton really fits the Cowboys vibe. Jack Harlow has a new song. I just wonder how that's going to play for him. I mean, I love Delirious, don't get me wrong, but it just seems like a totally different energy, no?
Okay. Right. Yeah, that's a little different. That's off the beaten path. Okay, Steve Aoki. Not familiar with his work, but excited to see what he does.
I think you are familiar with his work. I think if you have heard some of his songs, you would be familiar with his work.
I'm looking at his catalog right now and quite literally can't identify any of those songs.
You may have heard one in the club, CeCe, back in the day.
In the club? In the club?
I'm sure if you heard
Steve
the beats.
Steve Aoki putting out bangers when I was in the club, Smalls?
Here you go.
It's been a minute.
You know this one. Delirious? We gone delirious.
I do know this one. Now, the only reason I know it is because one of my teammates was playing it in the locker room before a two-a-day training camp practice, and it actually ended up being some phenomenal content on my Instagram. So for those of you that want to check that out, go to my Instagram page. You'll see Terrell Suggs and Brandon Williams dancing around in the Ravens locker room. That is the only reason why I know that song.
Well, I'm glad that you know it. But you know what I'm saying?
Into it. I'm in.
Dolly Parton, Jack Harlow. Is everyone just going to be fist bumping?
Yeah, it feels Jersey Shore-like, yeah. Right? That's what it feels like.
GTL,
right now.
A little GTL action.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, what else, Smalls?
So last night we were all locked into Eagles and Chiefs, a Super Bowl rematch. It was an amazing showdown. You might have watched the game on ESPN, or you could have wandered over to the Manning cast. Always a great time with Peyton and Eli. They always have a bevy of big-time guests that join them. And Michael Vick was one of the featured guests last night, guys. And he talked about Peyton Manning being a superior quarterback to him in specifically one arena. Here's what it sounded like.
Mike, this year marks the 20th year anniversary of you gracing the cover of Madden. Many consider you the best Madden athlete ever. Be honest with me, Mike. When you played Madden, did you always play as yourself?
Peyton, I actually played as you. Because back when this game came out, the passive vision on the game was like this wide. And my passive vision was like this wide. So, I always wanted to be a pocket passer. Yeah.
Look at these ratings. Exactly. Look at these ratings, Mike.
Exactly.
I mean, look at the speed difference. Your speed is double mine. The toughness, Eli.
Yeah, so much tough.
You rate your own toughness? Who said Eli? 95 toughness? Your speed? How is Eli's speed better than mine, Mike? Mike.
Can you imagine being Mike Vick and being able to play yourself in Madden and you choose Peyton Manning? I think I would always select myself, right?
Well, CC, yeah, did you?
I think he's just trying to be humble with that one. But Michael Vick was a cheat code when it came to Madden. Like, you got Michael Vick. All you'd have to do is back all the way up, and then you could literally run around everybody because he was that fast.
Did you ever play video games as yourself in Madden? Because you can highlight the singular defender.
No, I actually didn't play video games that I was on. So when I was in college, I played Madden, not NCAA. And then when I got to the NFL, I played NCAA, if that makes sense. I just thought it was weird. One of those quirky superstitions, I didn't want to play video games that I was on. But everybody checked the video games to see what their rating was.
My son plays like Vic suggested, or like Peyton suggested. He runs with the quarterback constantly, no matter who it is, and I have a tough time stopping him on that in Madden. I, of course, play the boring, like, throw to the tight end, throw to the running back out of the backfield. And dunking. I'm going 4 yards a pop. That's what I'm looking for on Madden. Yep. What else, Smalls?
Okay, guys. Shout out is in order to Philip Rivers and his wife. They welcomed their 10th child into the world last month. Andrew Joseph Rivers, the newest member of the Rivers clan. He joins the entire crew that Philip and Tiffany have. 7 daughters, 3 sons, the other 9 children, range in age, guys, between ages 5 and 21.
21.
I mean, Smalls, he's getting to the point now where they're running out of names they actually like to name their children, right? Like, I mean,
how many Foreman style, just go like. Philip every time.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, I mean, like that's what I'm saying. Like,
wait a second.
At
wait
this
a
point,
second.
We're running out of names.
You may have stumbled on something here, CeCe. Are we actually going to say that George Foreman named his kid George because he doesn't actually know any other names that he likes? That they're
probably
all named George, not to honor him, just doesn't like any other name?
Probably, I can see that. I mean, think about it. When you think about naming your children, you want it to be special. You want it to have a meaning and all of these other things. Like, once you get to kid number 10, like, how special can you make that? I get that they say, oh, every child is a blessing. It's special.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I get all of that. But how many names do you actually like? Think about it. You got first names and middle names for all of your kids. By the time you get to kid number 10, you done ran out of damn names.
Coming up, huge win for the Eagles last night. A name in Pittsburgh is out. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.